Okay, look, let's jump into the message. We're going to talk about the believer's wealth. And it's important that you know what is in your bank account. It's important that you know what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. You need to know that. The devil talks to us all. He lies to us. Whenever his lips are moving, he's lying. You know that. But he'll tell you things about who you were and all of that. But there's only been one perfect person on the planet. And we worship him. And so that's the only perfect person. Everybody else, no, even the goody two-shoes people you know, they were bad too. Yes, they were bad too. And so God wants us to understand what is in our bank account. If you don't want to bounce checks, you can't bounce a check that you write on this Christian bank account. You cannot bounce it. It has eternal wealth in it. And I want to try to drive that home to each of us today. Because so often Christians have been taught about their work ethic and what they can do and how they can manipulate faith to have all this other stuff that's perishable. Now, we need some perishable stuff. You know, these clothes are perishable, but we need the clothing, and we need various things. But we seem to not understand the imperishable, and our doctrines sometimes are askew because we have not dared to believe the eternal and the impossible. So let's dare to believe today, and I'm going to try to move quickly. Oh, let me catch you up a little bit. That we talked about there not being any condemnation to those of us who are in Christ, and because Christ is not condemned, cannot be condemned. We talked about to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. We talked about the natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity or hatred against God, and that it's not subject to the law of God. So in your natural state, you're not subject to the law of God, and Paul says you can't be. And then he tells us that those in the flesh can't please God, but he tells us that you and I are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That all believers are not in the flesh. Now, you may have an act of flesh, but you are never in the flesh. You cannot undo your born-again experience. You can't undo it. There's one thing. You may be able to do a lot of things, but you can't go back into your mother's womb. Remember the story in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus asked, well, can... what do you mean by being born again? I mean, this is my East Texas version of it. What do you mean by being born again? Can I enter my mother's womb again? You know, because if that's what we know. So he says, and Jesus goes on to talk to him about the spiritual birth. And what he is saying is that you and I have been born of the Spirit. We have been born of God. You could even say, if we could use it as figurative language, or that we were in his loins, as it were, and God brought us forth to be a new kind of creation, a person or a people group who are born of God. So we are born of the Spirit. So we cannot be unborn of the Spirit. And I'll keep saying these things. Somebody whispered in my ear and said, keep saying them, you know, because I don't want to tire you out. But you can't be unborn of the Spirit. You've been born of the Spirit. To be unborn of the Spirit means that God could not carry his process to fruition, to its end result. You can't be unborn of the Spirit. Once you're born of the Spirit, man, you're born of the Spirit. So you may need some spankings, but you can't be unborn. Now, you know, that's all right. Anybody ever had a spanking? I mean, I have. A lot of you are not raising your hands. That means you need one. But you know, you can't be unborn. So I can never be unborn. Therefore, I cannot be unsonned, S-O-N. I cannot be unsonned. And so he wants us to understand these things. So you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. That means the Spirit of God lives in you. That means the Spirit of God has taken up residence in you. Yeah, he lives in you. He remains in you. That's what that means, right? So then the Spirit of God remains in you. If you have a bad attitude, you may have a bad attitude, but God is going to change that bad attitude. I promise you, it's better to let him do it right away. Yeah, but yeah, you want him to do it right away, because if you wait and you fight, you're obstinate, you're going to be an old crying person. Yeah, I'm sorry, God, every time you get up. I'm almost like that. So now, then he tells us that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, or he doesn't belong to Christ. So all of us who are born again have the Spirit of Christ, right? And the Bible tells us that. Then he says to us that if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, remains, abides, lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to these mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so God has purpose for you and your mortal bodies. He is going to do something great and special. Then we taught you that the overcomer, Jesus, is who I call the great overcomer, because Jesus overcame all the world. He overcame a host of demonic forces and powers. He overcame the devil. He overcame everything by himself. By himself. As a man, he overcame. He didn't overcome as God. He is the God-man, but he overcame as a man. That's huge. No other man has done that. So what Jesus is, he is the model, as it were, for you. He is the reality, the focus for you. He is the life that is now in you. And therefore, you can safely say as a believer, the overcomer, the great overcomer lives in me. Therefore, I will overcome. That is the conclusion you must draw. Therefore, I will overcome. Amen. So, and also, we taught you that that you are a son of God. You're a born son of God, and you're an adopted son of God. One does not negate the other. You are a born son, but I want you to understand both of these. But I want you to really understand your spiritual birth that has caused you to be a born son, and the spiritual birth also has caused you to be an adopted son. Are you with me? Okay, so let's read a little bit. Paul says we are debtors not. He says we are debtors not to the flesh. So we still live in a mortal body, but we got a very, very rich inheritance. We got a great blessings, eternal blessings that come from God. So God has given us eternal blessings. Eternal blessings. What does eternal blessings mean? It means that we can't lose them. They're not temporary. They're not temporary. Now, when we talk about rewards, this is sometimes a school zone, because when we talk about rewards, you can lose reward. You can lose reward. You can lose reward. Why am I teaching these things? I believe I'm teaching these things because the days that we are in are very evil. Very evil. And some of us are deceived by them. You see, if I've got a favorite friend, and he lies all the time, I'm not going to believe anything he says. And he's not going to be my friend for long. Certainly won't be my favorite. And because I'm not going to listen to somebody who's lying. And again, sometimes in marriage, and I didn't go there here in the first service, but I feel emboldened. Sometimes in marriage, we get angry with our spouse, husband or wife, because they tell us what we don't want to hear. And don't y'all go too. So I don't like you telling me that. You know, I don't want you to say that to me. And so we sort of move away from people. But I want people in my life who will tell me the truth. And the Bible tells us the truth. And so the spirit of adoption that comes in, Paul says, we have received the spirit of adoption by whom? So we we have the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Daddy. And so I want you to understand that. Then he tells us that the Holy Spirit, now this is amazing. The Holy Spirit is not in us to give us goosebumps and tingling things and ooh, you know. He's not there for that. You know, he is there witnessing. One, he gave us the life of God. There are a lot of things the Holy Spirit has done. He's given us the life of God. He gives us understanding of God. He gives us overcoming, and he gives us the ability to endure, to persevere. A lot of things he does, but one of the things the Holy Spirit does with us, he gives us the ability to call God Father, and he bears witness. He's a bearer of witness. He gives testimony to God. He cannot lie now. He gives testimony. Cannot lie. He gives testimony that you and I are who our spirit tells us we are. Our spirit tells us now, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, tells us we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit is testifying. So that means the record of two witnesses, the testimony of two witnesses, cannot be negated. So what God is saying is that God, the Holy Spirit, is saying you are a child of God, not that you are possibly a child of God, not that you are on the way to being a child of God, but you might not make it. He's not saying that. He's saying you are a child of God. And my spirit has been saying I'm a child of God. Now I've got corroborating testimony. And so I want you to get this. And I told you about my upbringing. I grew up when, man, you could comb your hair wrong. I'm not exaggerating. We grew those little, you know, you all may not see the proof here, but, you know, I used to have sort of long hair, got that long. But I remember, you know, you'd go to hell for that. Really? You know, women, I mean, you couldn't look like you're looking in here. You know, you could go to hell for having that lipstick on. And those women who may have on some slacks now, you're going to bust it wide open. Somehow you could undo what God did for you before time began. It's an impossibility. So everything that happens in time is subordinate to what happened before time began. Are you still with me? And so not only did the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of God in you witnessing, I mean, testifying, everybody, testifying, and God is testifying. That's amazing. So we know that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. I remember the late Benson Idahosa from Nigeria. He was preaching once, and he said, if God told you that you were a monkey, he said, that's what you are. I never forgot. He said, that's what you are. You know, why? Because it is impossible for God to lie. Whatever God says, it is. Are you still with me? You are a son of God. That is. And if I may just say forever. And then now, if you are a child of God, a born one of God, you see, being a born one of God is huge. That's huge, and it would take a lot of time to really deal with the implications of all of that. You know, that we are in union with God. But I know that's too good to be true, but it's still true. We are in union with God. That means we ought to comport ourselves differently. Listen to what he says. He says, and if children, or since we are children, I'm going to use if in the sense that since we are children, then we are heirs. My children and my grandchildren are my heirs. My heirs. God is eternally wealthy. God is eternally wealthy. Now, you and I, now because we're children, we are heirs. Well, that means that the universe belongs to us. Everything in it. All the blessings, material and immaterial, they belong to us. That's what he says. We're heirs of God. Now, listen. God being our Father, we are heirs of his, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so now the if we suffer with him does not mean that, oh, if you don't suffer, you're somehow unsunned and unaired, if I may say it. Right. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's showing us is that as he is, so are we in this world. As Christ is, so are we. Christ is crucified, we're crucified. Christ raised from the dead, we have been raised. And Christ now lives. Christ died to sin, we've died to sin, the sin realm. Christ now lives the life he lives to God. We are to reckon ourselves that way and live to God. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what God wants you to know and understand, and never let anybody jerk that from your heart. Come on, this is not works-oriented salvation. This is a faith salvation. I believe, and therefore I receive. Hallelujah, somebody. And so your suffering is a part of the journey. I told you, and I'm not trying to ever bash any preacher or teacher, because you could find something I've said that's not quite accurate. I'm sure because, well, I'm human. But I learn and I grow. But the faith and a lot of things I learned about faith in the 70s, a lot of it was good, and some of it was just not. It was like rubbish. You know, that you use faith to be better than your brother or your sister. You use faith to drive a car to make them jealous. You know, all that kind of stuff. But when you talk about suffering here, what I learned from them, this so good, is that God lives in the eternal now. Now, what this thing here is, it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And so what he's talking about is that when Jesus comes, behold, how did you go? Beloved, now are we children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so he's showing us the being glorified together. See, we suffer with him because we're a part of him. We suffer with him because we're his body. As he is, so are we. So you cannot not suffer and be a part of Christ's body. So you don't use the faith to avoid it, to evade it, to never do it. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. You will suffer. Now, what is the reward? If you suffer, you're going to be glorified with him. So when Jesus is glorified, he's going to come and be admired of everybody. And then we are his bride. We are his body. And we are going to look really good, better than we've ever looked in our existence. This is what God wants us to understand. When his glory is revealed, our glory is going to be revealed. When he's glorified, we will be glorified. Somebody ought to say something for the Lord. Okay. Oh, wow. I've got to get to this, my main message. I'm just catching you up. And so let me say, well, one other thing I taught you not to be afraid of the word predestined. Don't be afraid of that. It's the craziest thing for me. Can I beat myself? It's the craziest thing for me. Here are finite people having a fight with predestination. And also people who predestine themselves all the time. Every time you buy an airline ticket, you predestine yourself. The only problem is you can't bring it to pass. But God, because he lives in the eternal now, the ever-present now, God, it doesn't have a past. God, as it were, doesn't have a future. God, as it were, does not just have these things, because he is now everywhere. So he is right now existing in what we call the past. And he is already what we call the future. This is amazing stuff. And so when God predestined us before time began, God was before time began, and he is since time began at the same time. That's how God is. That's how God lives. It may be overwhelming to your mind, but that's why he's God, and that's why we worship him. Are you still with me? And so for God to say, I foreknew you, I knew you before time began, doesn't mean he's going to not know you in time. Are you still with me? So why am I sharing these things? Because God has made them real to me. And I believe they're going to be strength for you. They're going to be strength for you. Sure, you can lose reward. I'll still be saved. No, that's the wrong attitude. And that's a Christless attitude. Okay, now let me hurry up. Where was I? Yeah, he has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And so what Paul is saying is that God willed it, God desired it, and your predestination came from God. It came from God's will, it came from God's purpose, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen, somebody. Okay. Now, let me read 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 through 10, and then I'm going to read really quickly, because my time is just gone. My 20 minutes are just gone. I'll borrow 4 minutes. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me, listen, in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. Now, let me give you that example I gave a while back, a few weeks ago. If you are, say, a mile offshore and you're drowning, and I happen to see you and I jump in the water and I'm rescuing you and I've got to swim a mile with you, and I'm swimming and I get you halfway there and you're kicking and screaming and you fall off. I didn't save you. I tried to save you. But the Bible tells us God saves us. So what God does, he brings us from where we're drowning in sin and shame, and he takes us to that peaceful shore. He takes us to the destination that he had already wanted for us. Or he cannot say, I have been saved. The Bible says you have been saved, you are being saved, and will be saved. Come on, somebody. So what does that mean? That means that we are a unique group of people. We are people of God. So if we are not presently people of God, then we are not saved. And since we are people of God, we are saved with the purpose of God, and the purpose of God, God purposed it. Therefore, it must happen. If it does not happen, he's not God. So why do I need to know that? Because we're living in these uncertain times when there are all kinds of whispers. They can TikTok you to death. They can Instagram you to death. They can YouTube you out of this world. There are all kinds of stuff. Would-be preachers, crazy stuff. People saying stuff that sounds right, but it's not. And listen to what he says about God. He's, okay, who has saved us, past tense. Now, we can have to reconstruct all languages if we're going to say it's not accurate. Who has saved us, listen, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to your works, buddy. But according to his own purpose. Called you for a purpose according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ. How is Christ going to lose what God gave us in him? Christ is like God's safety deposit box. We're in Christ. Now listen, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So everything in time and space is subordinate to what God did outside of time. And he says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death for all of us who are in him. He's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He brought life. He brought immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I cannot say I have eternal life. I cannot say that I have immortality or have even had it a little bit if it's not forever. I know I'm messing with somebody. Okay. I'm going to read this pretty quickly. I wish I had time to expound on it. Verse 18 of Romans 8 says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not might be, What kind of promise is that? I'm going to be saved for 40 years and be stupid, be messed up at 41. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I got to slow down up here. I'm getting too intense. But I'm going to, at 41 years with the Lord, I'm going to do something really not so good. And then now I'm gone. No, it's not what the Bible is saying to us. If the Bible is saying what a lot of teachings say, it's not good news. It's bad news that I lived for Jesus for 40 years and in the 41st year made a lot of mistakes and he kicked me out. That's bad news. Don't we call it gospel? But listen to what he says. Where was I? Okay. So let's go to Peter. 1 Peter 4:12-13. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to this extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." You share with Christ's suffering. You share Christ's suffering. That's why you go through stuff. I thought I was a Christian and I don't want to suffer. No, you suffer with him. You partake, you share in Christ's suffering. Wow. Why? That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So when his glory is revealed, you are going to be revealed too. That's why you suffer with him, you reign with him. When he is revealed, you're going to be revealed. And the Bible says you're going to be just like him. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly." So, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So God would not let creation outshine the sons. And so he subjected it to a lack of production. Wow. Listen. And he says, but he subjected it in hope, or not in a wish, but in expectation. Now listen. "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the Son, the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit." You and I have first fruits of the Spirit. The produce of the Spirit grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And so another part of adoption is the redemption of our body. And it's a promise redemption. It's a promise redemption. God cannot lie. It's a promise redemption. This is in your bank account. Eternal things are in your bank account, everybody. And so he says the groans. And so let me just, I want to say so much. Can't say it all. In 2 Corinthians 5:5, he says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit." He's also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So he prepared us for it. So have you ever, ladies, I know the guys may know, have you ever seen a paring knife? A paring knife is used to prepare that potato or that fruit or whatever, apple, is to prepare it for cooking or whatever you're going to do with it, or baking. It's to prepare. So he has prepared us. How did he prepare us? He gave us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So the Holy Spirit in you is guaranteeing that you're a son of God, that you're an heir of God, and that God's going to do everything he told you he's going to do. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, I promise you that I would be done, so I'm not going to go on. But let me just say, I really want to, but I'll finish it maybe Wednesday. And you can go and listen to the first service and find the end of this message. I just want you to know that what God has said about you is true. And you are presently children of God, and you're not going to be unchild. You're not going to be unsunned. And God is not going to be so feeble that the devil can win a victory over him. Come on. Come on. He's not going to do it. He can't do it. No, no, no. No, no. I read the story. I read the end of the book. And God's not going to come himself. Going to send a great angel. An angel is going to come and chain him up. Come on. One of God's beings is going to come and change him up. Throw him into the abyss. So in Jesus' name, listen, I'm done now, but I want you to know God loves you immensely. And I want you, if you don't know Jesus, you need to give him an opportunity just by saying, God, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, forgive me, and come into my heart and save me. And Jesus will do that. I'm telling you, Jesus will do that. He did it for me, and he did it for a multitude here. And he'll save you. And I'm going to tell you something. As my wife was in this meeting, when this preacher was asked the question, can the saved be lost? He says, it depends on who saves you. Jesus saved you. And the Bible says he lives forever. Forever. So he's able to keep you from falling and to present you. Present you to God in eternal glory. So I'm going to come back in a second and let you go. Sister Steph, I want you to think about it. I want you to come to Jesus in a minute. Sister Steph, we can do a little stanza of that, and I'll come back.